we'll start with today. Very important one. I asked you to look at the complete ayat, which I hope you all did, because that's a way to engage with the Quran, right? All these years we've been reciting, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu atti'ullaha wa atti'ur rasul wa ulil amri minkum. But what about the rest of it? The rest of it is also extremely important. And it is also important for us from the point of view that many people say we are very selective. We only choose those ayahs of the Quran which support the Ismaili interpretation. But that's not the case. The whole of the Quran is to do with the divine light. The whole of the Quran. So let's look at those words. I think I will also read out the Arabic and so that you get some idea. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ati'ullaha wa ati'ur rasul wa ulil amri minkum. Fa in tanazatum fi shay'in farudduhu illa Allahi wa rasul in kuntum tu'minuna billahi wa yawmil akhir. Zalika khayrun wa ahsana ta'wila. Okay? I hope that you picked out some words. Did you pick out? I repeated the word tanaza. Because tanaza, maybe those who have some knowledge of Arabic or even Swahili, tanaza means quarrel, argument, quarrel, yeah? So now let's look at the English, okay? All you who believe, obey Allah and obey the messenger, Rasul, and those of you who are in authority. Yeah? The English translation is authority. The word in Arabic is Amr, A-M-R. Amr is also command. Those who are the bearers, the possessors of, the holders of command. Whose command? God's command. Okay? And then, very interesting. Then if you have a dispute, a quarrel concerning any matter, yeah, shayin, any matter, who should you refer it to? Allah and the messenger. If you are believers in Allah and the last day, yawmil akhir. See, look at that. If you have a quarrel, you must always refer it to the Prophet and to Allah. And now, in this bit here, there's no mention of Ulil Amr. Ulil Amr is mentioned in the first sentence. So you ask yourself, what can that mean? And what sort of quarrel would we refer to Allah and the Prophet? So we have lots of quarrels among human beings. If you take the Prophet's time, they must have had quarrels about camels and date trees. And today, farmers may have quarrels about whose sheep are these and whose sheep are those. Or we may have quarrels between husband and wife, or, you know, between two members of the family or whatever. Are we going to refer all these petty quarrels to God and the Prophet? The answer is no. You are not going to refer these things to Allah. You know, because Allah is not somebody you have access to. And you don't have access to the Holy Prophet now either, because he was there 1400 years ago. So what is this quarrel about? First, we have to know what is this quarrel about. The quarrel is about who is the Ulil Amr. That is the only quarrel that you would refer to Allah and the Holy Prophet. So how would you refer it to Allah? Well, Allah's words are in the Quran. So look at those words in the Quran. Does he or does he not say that nobody can blow my light out? Does he or does he not say that he chose Adam and Noah and Abraham and his family and Imran and his family over all the people and their Zuriyat and Bazwa, means their offspring, descendants one of the other? Does he not say Nurun Allah Nur? Does he not say to the Prophet, Oh, Rasul, you are a warner, but for every community there is a guide. Does he not say, on the day I will call every people with their imam? I have just quoted you quite a few things from the Quran, which are Allah's words. And all those words are telling us that there has to be an ulil amr. There has to be a possessor of Allah's command. And how would you refer to the Prophet? Well, just refer to the hadith of the Prophet. Pick up any book of hadith, and see what the Prophet says about Maulana Ali and his progeny. See what he says. I have often mentioned to you our book. Fakir and I, many years ago, produced this book called The Prophetic Traditions and the Ahlul Bayt. It's on our website. You can download it, yeah? Every single hadith is from a Sunni source. We have not touched Shia sources, because Shias always have good things to say about Panchdan Pak. So we have gone to the Sunni sources. And in these Sunni sources, every single hadith, of course, we haven't, we need an encyclopedia. So we've just condensed them, and this is the book. The Holy Ahlul Bayt in the Prophetic Tradition, yeah? Have a look, and you will be surprised. You will really be surprised what the Prophet has said. So there is not a single doubt. If you seriously and impartially, if you separate yourself from conventional thinking and imitation, and you concentrate only on the Quran and the Hadith, you have to come to the conclusion that there has to be a guide, and that that guide has to be from the direct descent of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then the ayat goes on. It says, this, that is better, zalika khayru wa ahsanu ta'wila. I'm sure now, all of you, since you've been attending all these Zoom sessions, you heard the word ta'wil, haven't you? If you read the preamble of the Ismaili Constitution, you know the word ta'wil. Ta'wil is the esoteric, the batin meaning of the Quran. So the last sentence says that if you refer to Allah and the Prophet, you find out who the true ulil amr is, then that is best for you. That is best for you, and it is also good for ta'wil, because without ulil amr, you can't have ta'wil. Yeah? You remember? I think I may have, because I take so many classes, I always forget which group I am quoting things to. But in this Precious Gems, the very first little printed book of Farmans we've had in our Jama'ah, you know what Maulana Hazir Imam has said about the Quran? I shall find it and read it out to you. Okay. He says, and this is a Bombay, November 1967, Farman. He says, do not forget that our branch of Islam is an esoteric branch of Islam. Esoteric means that what is written is there, but its meaning is not there to everyone. It is there only to those who are part of our Jama'at. 1967 is Farman. Why is the esoteric meaning only there for those who are part of the Jama'at? Because they have the only lamra, that's why. You can't have the meaning of the Quran if you don't have the only lamra, the descendant of the Prophet. You know, it is the Holy Prophet himself who said, I have fought, I have done jihad for the sake of Tanzil, but Ali will do the jihad for the ta'wil. This is a very famous hadith. Even the many impartial Sunnis accept this. And here comes the niceties of the Arabic language, look at the translation of the word ta'wil in this big hall, which is a Sunni translation. So he translates ذَلِكَ كَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَعْوِيلًا, that is better and more seemly in the end. It has no meaning, this last phrase, seemly in the end. Which end and which seemly? It has no meaning whatsoever. Yeah? This is how we need to know the Quran. Now you see, the whole of this ayat is not in the dua, because for a start it's a bit long. Yeah? Only the first part is there, up to Ulil Amr. And then I had also asked you, I hope I remember that I did, I had asked you to read a foreword to the book, Muhammad, the Mercy for All Nations, by Mr. J. Razbhai, that Mawlana Sultan Shah had written. Did some of you actually get it? Downloaded? Yeah, very good, very good. Excellent. So in that foreword, this was written in 1934. September 1934. Look at the words of this, you know. So the Mawlana Sultan Shah says in this, it's a wonderful foreword. There are other points in here about Allahu Akbar, about, you know, all the traditions, all the practices of Islam, what is important. Is it the form or is it the essence? It's a wonderful poem. You should really give it to your younger generation. Let them read this, okay? It's in English. They can't disregard this. It's in English. Okay, and this, about the Uli Amra, Mawlana Sultan Shah says, by the institution of the Uli Amra, by place, who can be interpreted as Imam and Khalifa, or Caliph, and by placing obedience to Ulul Amr immediately after that to God and Prophet, he ensured that the faith would ever remain, living, extending, developing with science, knowledge, art, and industry. If you have the Ulul Amr, then only is your faith dynamic. And if we say Islam is a religion of nature, the first thing you see in nature is dynamism. And that dynamism is in the community and the interpretation that the Imam of the time leads. I don't have to elaborate more than that on that. You all have eyes to see, you all read papers, you all listen to news, you know what the state of the Muslim Ummah is and where the dynamism is. Because it is the Ulil Amr guiding according to the time. He guides according to the time. And he ensures that Islam remains dynamic, living, living, extending, developing with science, technology, knowledge, art, industry, whatever you have. Just think back to Hazrat Imam Farman. What does he say about science and technology? He says, you know, we should never be afraid of scientific progress. These are all small windows opening on the creation of God. So, Ulil Amr is a very important ayah. And I want to give you two references from the Quran where this word Amr comes from, okay? So, these are Surah 21, ayah 73. What does God say in there? He says, and we, you know, capital we, the royal we, Allah, and we made them the imams, a'imma, who guide by our command. You will see the word amr there. Yeah, in fact, it would be good if I also maybe say the Arabic to you so you can وجعلناهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا. Yeah. If you've got the Quran there and you open that and you've got the transliteration, look at it. وجعلناهم. We made them. What? أئمة. أئمة, plural, imams. What do they do? يهدون. Same word as إهدنا. Same word as هادي. Same word as hidayat, same root, yahduna, bi amrina, our command. So that's one about the word imam comes with the divine command. And then Surah 32, ayat 24. So the whole ayat is, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَةً يَحْدُنَا بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَا سَبَرُ وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And when they became steadfast and believed firmly in our revelations, we appointed from among them leaders who command, who guided by our command. Who guided by our command. So that's Surah 32, Ayah 24. Again the word a'imma in the plural, and again the word amr. And amrina meaning God's command. This is why the imam is called Ulil Amra or Ulul Amra. Yes, depending on the grammar.
Sorry, Rashida bhai, can you give me the earlier reference again? Was it
81, Surah 21, 80, Ayat
81.
Yes. And Surah 32, Ayat 24. Both of them have this, the dual relationship, the word A'imma with the Amrina. God's command, yeah?
Okay.
And this is where this ayat 459 is so important for us. Okay, now I would like to just develop that concept a little bit more from my own understanding and what I have been taught, yeah? If you take obey Allah first, yeah? Ya ayyuhallazina amanu atiullaha. Okay. Today, in the world, in our, you know, 8 billion population, or whatever it is now, you would say that a very large majority of people of many, many, multiple faiths, they all believe in God. Yeah, that's why they are members of that faith. And they all try to obey God as far as they can possibly, right? So we would hold this type of obedience of Allah, which is going on around the planet Earth, we would call this ethical obedience. Why? Why would we call this ethical obedience? In the sense that anybody who believes in God is not going to go around killing others because he or she knows that we are all creatures of God, correct? So, you know, that's ethic. They will not, inshallah, they will not lie and cheat and break trust and do all these unethical things if they are believers in God, and which they are. There are many, many righteous people all over the place, right? So to obey God means general obedience about humanistic ethics, okay? What about obeying the Rasul? So when you say we obey the Rasul, now we talk about the faith of Islam, the message of Islam as the Holy Prophet brought it to the world. So this you could call religious obedience. Yeah? Religious obedience, you know, what do we have to do in our faith and what we should not do in our faith, okay? Which may be different from the general ethics, okay? And then finally, when you take the imam of the time or the Ulil Amra, I think it would be correct to say that we have the ethical guidance and therefore we obey Allah. We have the religious guidance and we have obeyed the Prophet. Now we have spiritual guidance, esoteric guidance, batini guidance, ta'wili guidance. Guidance which can lead us to our origins, spiritual guidance. And the interesting thing about this is that huge numbers are following Allah's ethical principles. Then the numbers narrow down when it comes to the Holy Prophet, 1.3 million Muslims. And then within that, the number shrinks even more when it comes to the importance of spiritual guidance. So this is something we should bear in mind when we are reciting the dua and feel nothing but gratitude that we are in this group, right? Which have access to spiritual guidance, which can fulfill the mission of our lives. The mission of our lives is to recognize our soul so that we can recognize God. So we can only do that through the Imam of the time. Okay? So now we can go on to the other snippet from the Quran. This is the first sentence, if you like, of the beginning of the second part. And then that first paragraph finishes with, it's from another surah. Surah 36, ayah 12. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَسْوَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَسْوَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ And we have encompassed everything in the manifest Imam. Okay? But that's only one bit only. You know? And it is the end of this ayah. So the whole of the ayat is Inna nahnu nuhil mawta wa naktubu ma qaddamu wa asarahum and then wa kulla shayin asaynahu fi manzil. This ayat has two sentences. So let's look at the English. Lo, we it is who bring the dead to life and we record that which they send before them and their traces. And then all things we have kept in a manifest mark. And this one is always translated differently. See, you will see a difference, huh? You will see such a difference if you are analytical and logical. In those two ayahs which I have given you about Ulil Amra, i.e. the relationship to the command of God, you will say that the word a'imma, twice, is either translated as chiefs or leaders. But in this ayat, وَكُلَّ شَيْنَا سَيْنَا فِي إِمَامِ مُبِينَ The singular imam is never translated as imam or leader. It is always, in the Sunni translations, translated as record, scroll, pattern, book, you name it, but never as leader. It's really interesting, isn't it? Yeah? So you've got to be extremely wary of translators. You have to see which group do they belong to? What are their thinkings, right? What are their worldviews? Okay? So now let's analyze this ayat a little bit. Right? Here, Allah says that He has the control over life and death. Yeah? He can bring the dead to life, or He can give death to those who are alive, right? And then, not only that, everything is recorded of your life. He records everything, you know, good deeds that are sent before, bad deeds throughout your life, everything is recorded. You know, this can be quite a problem for us, right? How does God record things, you know? You know, when we were little children, weren't we? Our parents used to tell us that there would be two angels sitting on our shoulders. The right-hand angel is writing all our good deeds, and the left-hand one, the angel, is writing all our bad deeds. You know, we used to have these type of notions, right? Because that's the way you teach children the difference between right and wrong. But now the question at this age that we are, we have to ask, how do you think God records all our, okay? And then at the end of this ayat, He says that it is all in the Imam Mubin. When you look at Hazrat Imam, when he comes and sits in Darbar, and you think, my God, how is it all in him? He's only a 6-foot-something human being. These are valid questions. So now let's see if we can find some examples which can help us. How is everything recorded in the Imam-e Mubin? Nothing is left out of the Imam. Everything. Past, present, future, physical world, spiritual world. Everything is in the Imam. Very interesting question, isn't it? Okay, so let's look at an example from nature first. Then the second example is from science, okay? Because the present scientific discoveries are helping us enormously to understand our esoteric faith. That might surprise some of you, right? Okay, first example from nature. Actually, two examples from nature. Earlier you were all discussing some type of gardening and planting, etc. Okay, so here we are in Britain. Britain is very proud of its oak trees. Yeah, oak trees, because they are the ones which enable them to build sailing ships and then conquer the whole world. Huge! An oak tree is huge, isn't it? But how does it start? From an acorn, which is the size of your first half of your thumb. Acorn, a seed. Does anybody ask the question, how this huge tree, branches, leaves, bark, twigs, trunk, roots, everything is in that little acorn? Well, this is nature telling you. Yes, things can be encompassed by God. Let's take the other example from nature, which is ourselves. How did you and I start life as? In the tiny sperm and the ovum of our parents. It included this whole human being in there. Isn't that incredible? Maybe now you begin to understand why the Imam says that the purpose of education in Islam is to know better the creation of Allah. See? It teaches you about your faith. The creation of Allah is a very good book for us. So, those two examples are from nature. Now, let's take an example of how everything is in something. Because physical examples can never be close to spiritual and intellectual, but nevertheless, they help us. So, let's see. Nowadays, yeah, we have computers galore. What do they say? They say that you can, that, you know, the entire Library of Congress can be in one little, what are they called? Bytes, you know, yeah? Disks or whatever, yeah? An entire library can be inside a tiny little disk. This is an example, you see? These scientific discoveries are helping us come closer to the spiritual world. Very much so. Very, very much so. Yeah? Okay, so how is everything in the Imam? Everything is in the Imam in the form of knowledge. Knowledge. And it is that knowledge of the Imam that we call the Nur of God. A light. That knowledge is a light. It illuminates your thinking. So everything is in the Imam of the time in the form of knowledge. Have you not wondered? You know, we have some very, very experienced people attending this class. Yeah, I'm sure they might share. But I would like to share with you. You know, those of you who know me well, you know that I'm a little bit crazy about Islamic art and architecture. Yeah? You know, the architect of the Burnaby Jamaatkhana in Canada, he gave an interview. He himself is an Italian Roman Catholic Canadian. His name is Bruno Freschi. He gave an interview about how he built the Smiley Center, right? And so when, you know, during the conversation, he said to the reporter, he said, you know, I'm not the architect. His Highness the Aga Khan is the architect. How does Hazi Imam know all this about architecture? It's not just about architecture. He knows so much about gardening and about plants. He asked the landscape gardener of the previous design of the Ismaili Center in Lisbon. You know, he then didn't like the design. He didn't take it on. He gave it to the Indian architect. So this landscape architect, he had a little, they took a model to Imam's huzur, and in it there was a bush. So Hazrat Imam picked that bush up and he said, what is the lifespan of this bush? And the landscape architect, he was totally flummoxed, he couldn't answer, you know. And Hazrat Imam said, you know, the other thing about Hazrat Imam is that he never makes anybody feel little. So he said, no. I don't think it can be more than 7 or 8 years. And he put it down. And the president and these two architects went back to Lisbon. And this man was so embarrassed, he went straight to his office, looked up his botanical encyclopedias, and rang up the president of Portugal and said, you know, His Highness was absolutely correct. That bush has a lifespan of 7 to 8 years. How does Hazrat Imam know about all that? You know, I think we have to stop looking at the Imam's physical side, and we have to think more and more about his spiritual and intellectual side. So, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ, when God says, and everything, then God is not leaving anything out of the Imam Mubin, okay? Everything is in the Imam Mubin. You and I are in the Imam Mubin. What you do and what I do, our farmanis and nafa, they are all in being recorded in him. That's the meaning of Wakulla Shayyin, Ashwanafi, Imam Mubin. You know, we say it like that in the dua, fast, 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 and you know, we don't realize the weight, the significance of these words, okay? So, so important for us to know these things in more detail, okay? Now, I could stop here and we can have questions and answers, because I think you may well have some questions and answers.